Welcome to Outlander with Friends podcast, where we talk about our favorite Outlander episodes, favorite whiskeys, and all the other bits that nobody wants to talk about.
This podcast is not for the faint of heart, so if you've read about it or watched it, we're going to talk about it.
Clutch your pearls and pour a dram. It's time for Outlander with Friends.
So, welcome back.
Hello!
A new season.
In God's name, have we made it to season 3 already? This is amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Absolutely crazy.
Like, we're halfway through, almost. I mean, technically.
I feel like it's flown by.
We're not halfway. We're a third of the way through.
There's only like seven seasons, right?
Well, there's 6 seasons out, but we're just starting season 3.
We're on season 3. Yeah, so we're
Aren't
halfway.
You, like, in medical school? Your math skills need a little brushing up.
How is 3 not half of 6?
It's because we're just starting 3.
7.
Well, I'm just saying, like, we're on season 3 is half of what is out.
Well, technically it's the end of 6, right? So it's almost 7, so that would be 3.5. So we're close to halfway.
Okay.
Well, we're only doing 4 episodes.
All right, we'll split.
So we're halfway.
We'll split the difference.
My math is mathing, I promise you.
Your math is mathing. So. Math is hard, y'all.
I can guarantee you it is.
I hate math.
For some.
I love math.
I happen to pick a profession that doesn't require a lot of it. Or they have like models that'll do it for you.
Same.
So I'm okay with that. All right. So I just want to start by saying a couple of things. First, I went in hard on this episode.
Same.
So, I mean, I did like this whole historical thing with this episode. So, and I watched it like 4 or 5 times. So I kind of know like back and forth.
I love it.
And my second thing is I pre-gamed. So about 20 minutes from now, you're going to have a whole new Ivy. Because I'm like on my third class. So good. So that's my disclaimer. I'm throwing it out there.
I love this Ivy.
This Ivy's going in.
Perfect. That makes me excited. I'm so excited to hear about your history. What you've learned.
All right. So are we going to, can we jump into it real quick?
Heck yeah.
Good.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. So season 3, episode 1, Battle Joined.
Mm.
There's so many things about this episode. So let me just start by saying, like, you know, I love history. So this was probably one of my favorite episodes of this season.
Hang on.
Now,
what are we drinking?
Oh, I'm getting to that. I'm going to get to that.
Oh.
Because it flows right into it, I promise.
I'm just going to drink then.
It flows right into it. I promise.
I'm going to start without you.
Anyways.
Literally flows right into it.
It does. So the river flows through it or runs through it. Is that what it is? I can't remember.
A river runs through it.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
This is not Montana.
All right. I'm getting distracted.
It's a good one. Da-da-da-da. Oh, no. It's Deliverance. Never mind.
Oh, my God.
I haven't been drinking. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Oh, God. You might want to start. It'll probably level this whole thing out.
That's an alternate history that we don't want to go into.
Oh, God. That's funny. All right. So let's get back on track. I was going through the episode, and this episode has like a striking resemblance to Gettysburg. And when I was looking up all the things, they've called Gettysburg America's Culloden, or like Culloden, Scotland's Gettysburg. So there's so many similarities. So it gives like a whole new meaning of history repeating itself. So the first thing was General Lee had like a few small victories and he got cocky and went for the money grab, just like Bonnie Prince did at Falkirk and Preston Pans. And then, ironically, both of them were waiting for France to step in and give them some help, which I didn't know. And I know so much about that era. And I guess I blanked out and forgot about that part. But obviously, neither one of them showed up for the fight. And then the other one that I saw was, you remember the raid the night before Cumberland's birthday? And then they got lost.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't do it.
Yep.
So when they got lost, it was similar to when General Lee had asked one of his generals the night before to attack the northern stronghold at the edge of Gettysburg. And the guy was like, no, I don't think it's a good idea. He's like, oh, we should wait. And then like 1 billion northern troops showed up. So like it actually gave them time to get in position. And then when they got to the town of Gettysburg to get supplies, they saw all these troops and they were like, oh shit, when the fuck did these guys get here? So they ran back and they're like, all right, so we basically have to fight here, because it was never the plan. They were actually headed somewhere else. And the other interesting fact is that each side in Culloden and in Gettysburg lost over 20,000 men.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, like the Union, just like the British Army, could afford that loss because they had more men, and it crippled both armies. So there was like a lot of similarities. Like both of the battles were fought in April. And the only interesting thing was, like, I found was, like, the same week or maybe the same day, the first women's cricket match took place in England while all this was going on. And I was like, wow, I guess that's a little highlight while everybody's getting slaughtered up north. Yeah. So anyways, that's my history piece. Oh, also, Gettysburg has a distillery, and it's in Adams County, and they have whiskey, gin, vodka, et cetera, et cetera. So, but that brings me to why I said I'm drinking Uncle Nearest 1856.
Aww.
So this is like before the war actually started.
Yeah.
But it was the closest thing I could find. So that is why I'm drinking it. But I also chose it because I know this is like very gory, but that same year, or maybe like a year after or something, there was a violent uprising called Bleeding Kansas.
Yeah.
And it was when they were going to break up the Missouri Compromise and make like Montana, the Dakotas, Nebraska and Kansas, but they were like, hey, we don't want those new states to be slave states. If you're going to be a new state in the Union, you're going to have to be anti-slavery. So all these pro-slavery people and all these anti-slavery people went into Kansas and like killed each other.
Yep.
It was crazy.
It was like a mini war. Yeah.
It was actually the prelude to the Civil War. Like, this is going to happen type of thing. So
I have a bone to pick with my history teachers because I know about the Missouri Compromise, but I have never heard of Bleeding Kansas before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
I don't know much about Gettysburg. I don't know much about history, but I know more about it now thanks to History with Ivy.
I'm telling you, it's my thing. It's my jam.
My senior year of high school, I took a Civil War class. So that's all we did for a semester was talk about the Civil War battle by battle. So I didn't choose Gettysburg because we actually had to choose one battle to cover and do a whole project on it. I chose the Second Battle of Manassas, where the river turned red. I think that was it. But dude, fascinating. So if you get deep into it, I don't think they do like Bleeding Kansas. That's how it's all started. But if you get deep into Civil War history, you will learn about it.
Yeah. So I had a friend, I say a friend, he was like 80 years old and he was my lawyer. But he had a hobby. So he would go to all of these different Civil War battlefields and like take pictures. And one day I'm just, you know, whatever. And I had to go to his office to do some paperwork or whatever. And he's like, hey, do you want to tag along with me? And I was like, sure. I don't mind hanging out with this 80-year-old guy. And he took me to all of these different places. North Carolina has so many of them. I mean, like everywhere you're walking is a battleground, basically, in North Carolina. So he taught me a lot about the history of the state and the Civil War. And I've always had one of my favorite movie of all times is Gone with the Wind. I watch it every year religiously on my birthday for the last like 25 years. I love it so much. I have like one of the original scripts that were.
Why are you smirking?
Don't say it.
She's never seen it.
Don't do it. You're about to say you hate that movie.
I've never seen Gone with the Wind.
It's amazing. Vivian Leigh is.
Oh my God. Clark Gable. Don't even get me started.
Clark Gable.
Okay. So that was my little bit of history before we get to all the guts and glory. I just want to take a moment and I guess like appreciate how the showrunners were able to tell this story through like all of Jamie's broken memories in such a masterful way that you don't get the full effect of how devastating this defeat was. I mean, because you know it's happening, but like they didn't like harp on it. Even the way that Black Jack Randall finally died, they didn't make it like this long
drawn out
thing.
Yeah,
they were just like, all right, we're going to give you what happened and then we're going to leave it at that.
They're just like, he's dead. He's just laying there. He's just there in the frame. The first moment you see Jamie, there's a red coat and it takes a minute maybe to figure out it's Blackjack or maybe it's a couple seconds, but
in my heart, absolutely I knew agree. It had to be him. But anyways, yes. What are you guys drinking tonight?
Meg.
Terry.
Meg.
What do you have? No, I want to see. You have something in your cup. Oh, you want to wait till the last?
No, it's fine. We don't have visual. One of these days we got to get our YouTube up and running. But over my shoulder, I have a little picture of.
That means I have to shower.
God forbid. Over my shoulder, I have a little picture that sits up on a shelf, normally high up in my office. It is a picture of a bunny rabbit.
I see it.
I noticed that.
Yes. I found that at a garage sale a couple of years ago, right after I had binge watched Outlander, and I had to have it because the imagery of the bunny, the rabbit,
yeah,
Jamie sees on the battlefield. But what I'm drinking is a cocktail this evening, and it is called Down the Rabbit Hole, which I know, let's just ignore the fact that that's an episode title in season 4, because I don't really love that episode in season 4, and there's a rabbit in episode 301 tonight. So
I have the perfect whiskey for that. Rabbit Hole.
Rabbit Hole. I don't know why I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
I don't have Rabbit Hole whiskey. I wish I did.
It's pretty good.
I had to make my cocktail with Whistle Pig Piggyback 6-Year.
Hmm.
And also Down the Rabbit Hole is where we went on that one Instagram Live, which was the last time that we had cocktails. With whiskey and honey syrup and another liqueur. This is not that cocktail.
It will go unmentioned.
And tequila.
Yeah, the live that shall not be named. But I did go down. Yeah, we did go down the rabbit hole that night.
It didn't exist.
Anyway, this is rye and a French ginger liqueur with honey in it. And as well, there's honey syrup and lemon juice. And it is freaking delicious. And I'm not going to make another one tonight because things shall not be named.
Sounds tart.
Things shall not be repeated.
We can't delete this episode, Terry.
Exactly. This episode is going to live on. So, Slancha, Meg, what are you drinking?
You know, I was all out of good ideas, but I do want to introduce Blue Run to people. Because Blue Run
love that one.
Is effing amazing, y'all. And I got the Emerald Rye.
I'm coming home from the bourbon ball this summer with a variety case of Blue Run if it kills me.
Dude.
It's money well spent.
So I've had 4 different types of Blue Run and I haven't had a bad one. And I will tell you this, the people who own Blue Run, they are just like you and me. And they are kind and they will reach out to you if you reach out to them. They're just the coolest people ever. All around amazing people.
I just saw somebody's post on Instagram. I think it was Saxy Bourbon. They had like a blueberry pancake Blue Run, something like that. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's Brett.
I'm not sure if that's the right account, but
yeah, they have really good products.
Somebody had a blueberry pancake thing. I'm like, oh, I need me some of that.
Yeah, but yeah, I was stretching far with this one. Blue Run, they ran a lot in this episode.
I mean, it's close enough, right?
Hey, it works.
Rabbit Hole would have been way better.
Well, all I know is went deep down in my feels in this episode, so down the rabbit hole was appropriate.
Yeah, that's definitely. Perfect. Getting back to the episode, first of all, those are some really great picks. I'm going to have to try that Whistle Pig Piggyback. I don't know. I've been like, I have a bottle, but I have yet to open it because I don't know if I would like it.
It's yummy.
All right. So anyways.
Back to the episode.
Are we diving deep? Are we doing this?
Oh, yeah.
We're diving in. So the episode, it starts out. I have a hard time with this one because it's so graphic. And I don't mind, but just some things that you see, you can smell. It's like, can you smell this picture? And it's like a box of crayons from like your childhood or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess like I can smell gunpowder. I don't know. It's like reminiscent of things I've smelled when I was in the military. Like,
oh, interesting. Mm.
It's like a sensory overload between the visual. Like my hands are starting to sweat a little bit, but I've never seen anything as extensive as this. You know what I mean? When you've been deployed and you've been places like jet fuel, every time I have to walk out to the plane, I smell the jet fuel. I remember the first time I landed at the biop in Iraq, because that's the first thing you smell when you get off the airport or off the airplane. So when I saw this episode and I was watching it, I'm like, man, I'm having a very visceral reaction to watching all these bodies laying all over the place.
Wow.
I mean, I get that they had to do what they did, like when they're walking through and they're just stabbing anybody that's still alive. And I'm like, why can't you just let them die? Like, why do you have to go back and stab them, man? That's so cruel.
It is.
But also, I don't think I'd want to sit there and suffer, you know?
Could at least give him a headshot or a double tap.
Damn. She's like, go out there and execute.
No, you just stab him in the side, man.
Execution style, yeah. Execution style. They're going to bleed out anyway. Oh my God. Just
That's true.
Put them out of their misery. So, Ivy, as you watched this episode several times, what were you seeing differently in each one? Were you watching it with a different eye, looking at particular aspects of the show or the story?
So the first time I watched it, it was just watching it through. I was involved with the story because I read the books. So I was just looking for little, I guess, breadcrumbs from the book. So I wasn't really paying attention to it. But the second time I watched it, or I'll say the second and third time I watched it, I only watched it from like Claire's point of view. I saw all the stuff that happened because they split the episode, right? The first part of it is Jamie's point of view and the second part of it is Claire's. So I kind of just, I wouldn't say I skimmed over it, but I wasn't really paying attention. I wanted to kind of get Claire's perspective on how she dealt with leaving Jamie and coming back, which I have extensive notes about. And then this last time I watched it, actually tonight when I watched it, I kind of looked at it in the sense that like what changed in history because this event happened. I didn't really look at it as the show. I was thinking about what did this moment change about my life that I live right now.
All right. Interesting.
What about you guys?
I watched it 2.5 times. Didn't get totally through it the third time, but the first time I was catching all of the cinematography moments, all of the close-ups, all of the tiny, tiny expression changes on the faces of all the actors. And let me tell you, I'm going to just jump ahead to this because I don't want to leave it out. Sam Hoare, the guy that plays Lord Melton, the best expression of disdain and contempt in this entire show comes from that man dismissing his lieutenant or his clerk or whatever who wants to kill Jamie under an alias. Yes. That is like, as if, you motherfucker.
The look of disgust on his face. Oh, the best yes. one was right before that. Did you see his face right before that? Like, it was leading up to him cussing this dude, the clerk, out.
Oh, yeah.
Because the guy's like, well, the rest of these guys are just kind of laying around. Do we shoot them on the ground? And he was like, bitch, I know they lost, but you don't have to shoot them on the ground. What the hell?
I know. The honor of the Gray family.
I'm telling you.
I want that actor back for season 8 because they better put Hal back in season 8.
He's a big part of season 8.
He is a big part of season 8. He better return. And the transition from, I think they were executing Rupert. Or it might have been I think it was the execution of Rupert, and the camera was on Jamie's face on the right half of the screen, and it immediately switched to Frank's face on the left half of the screen. And
I thought he was looking at Blackjack when I saw that.
Oh my God.
Same. That was such a great transition. I thought he was imagining it.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Like he was seeing Frank?
Oh, I loved that so much. I thought the same thing. That was crazy.
It was creepy as hell.
Yes, it was totally.
It definitely was. It was a great cinematic moment.
Ah, that's a good one.
Anyway, the second time that I watched it through, I was looking at the makeup, both 1940s when Claire went back and also all of the battlefield makeup. I was just marveling at the skill of everybody on the Outlander crew. And then the third time, I just felt all the emotions that I had been holding back and trying to take notes and trying to pay attention to stuff for the podcast tonight. And I just like let it go on my third watch. And the montages from Jamie's point of view are extraordinary. Like you were saying, the storytelling that they managed to do. And there's so little dialogue in parts of this episode. It's all conveyed by expression. And I'm pretty blown away.
I think for like 10 minutes, there was one scene where stupid Bonnie Prince said something about Cumberland, like, oh, he's going to be drinking from a teacup. I'm going to get back to that later. Fuck that dude.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the first time in like 8 minutes, it was when Murtaugh and Jamie saw each other. It was like completely just war.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh shit, hey, what's up?
Yep. Other than like screams and grunts and battle cries.
Yeah.
There was no talking going on.
Megan, how many times did you watch this episode?
Once. No, I just...
What stuck out to you?
A lot of, honestly, the fucking patriarchy.
Girl.
And Claire's.
Yes.
That bothered me so much.
Well, I have
notes on that.
Like a legit rant.
Another thing that bothered me.
What was the other thing?
I just, if I had watched it more than once, I could have gone deeper. I think I touched on all the things that y'all have mentioned. You remember a couple episodes back, Ivy, when you brought up how something in a scene reminded you of Gone with the Wind?
Yes, I do.
It reminded, I came back to that during this.
Yeah.
At the end of the war scenes.
Yeah.
Something just brought me back to Gone with the Wind. So I really thought about that and how just...
Battle of Atlanta. Do you remember that scene in Gone with the Wind?
Yes. It was the end when she's outside.
I was going to say, was it the golden hour light?
Yes, yeah. That's exactly what that was. And then I kept spiraling during Jack Randall and Jamie and that whole battle scene that leads up to him killing JBR and just thinking, y'all wanted to stop this. Y'all literally wanted to stop this war knowing that Jamie was going to finally most likely get to kill JBR.
BJR.
Do what?
BJR.
Black Jack Randall. Black, yeah, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay.
So I just want to know, how the fuck did no one knock either one of them out? It's beyond me. Like, there was like a whole plot of land to themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did they end up just, you know what I mean? I was like, how y'all get a whole piece of land by yourself to fight? That's the only part of this whole entire scene. I was like, all right, come on, guys. There's no way.
And everyone else was dead?
Yes. I was like, come on.
That's the moment when I stopped watching the show with my husband, because he brought that up the first time that he watched the show through with me. And I just said, look, it's cinematic license. All right. In the books,
I get
Jamie
it, but
does not
on.
Remember I mean... most of the battle. No, it's more like a fever dream or a dream sequence. And right. They just played it up like that. That whole battle was over so fast.
I mean, it was an hour, right. But...
that it didn't last into the golden hour.
It seemed like they fought for like an hour.
I know. That's why it was artistic license.
Let's be honest. They all knew of the beef between the two men and they left him alone.
Exactly.
You guys got this.
We're not touching it.
This ain't my beef. I don't want the smoke. Meanwhile, these two over here just... So, ooh.
Oh, no.
What just happened?
She said her piece and she dipped.
She's dropped the mic and left.
Not my circus. Not my monkeys. Done.
Oh, bitches.
Terry, that was great. What just happened?
She had a very like drop the mic moment. I said what I said, bitches.
Where the hell was I? That's my funny. Rant. No, it doesn't matter.
Not your monkeys.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's, and then you dropped the mic and,
and I left. I hope the recording got that.
I think it did because we didn't stop.
All right.
You'll see shortly. So the other thing that I just remembered, right before this war or this battle happened, the Duke of Cumberland offered amnesty to any of the participants if they wanted to turn in their weapons. They had to go to a local Presbyterian church.
No way.
And they would go unpunished, but they would spend life in prison. Truth be told, I don't think it would have went down like that. You know what I'm saying? That's like,
we won't kill you.
We won't kill you. Just drop your weapons off at this church. Sign your name and we'll put you in prison. You might go end up in the colonies. But I thought about that because there was a moment when Jamie came back after he had dropped off Claire and artillery shells were going off around them. And that one stupid ass general was like, oh, he's just trying to scare us.
Oh, fuck him.
You know, Bonnie Prince is looking like a little bitch. And he's like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And Jamie's like, no, we need to do something like right now. That was the moment where he could have been like,
oh,
we
have the opportunity.
Yeah. But he could have been like, you know what? He did offer us a white flag. Like, this is probably going to go bad for us. Like, even to the last moment, they had a chance of getting out of this shit.
Motherfucking Bonnie Prince at that moment. I could have killed that son of a bitch.
Mm. I'm mad because this bitch was like, oh, he's going to be drinking out of my fucking teacups by the end of this war. Yeah, you're right. Because you left him there when you ran, bitch. And you got everybody killed.
Fuck
that's,
yes.
That's why.
Amen.
Oh, God. I'm like, I have high blood pressure thinking about this man. I swear. Ugh.
Go crawling back to daddy.
Oh, I can't with him. I absolutely cannot.
Have y'all looked him up to see what he looked like in real life?
I've seen like artists' renditions of his face. But I don't
saw
know
the
accurate.
Statue at the museum at Culloden.
Ugh. He doesn't deserve
Here's
to be there.
Here's a side tangent. Did artists in the 18th century paint people realistically, or were they, did they just have a fucked up ideal of what people in portraits should look like? Because somewhere between the 18th and the 19th centuries, people somehow grew chins in portraits. They went from having these chinless.
As a former artist.
Monarchy and people in portraits went from being totally chinless to suddenly like having not prominent chins, but at least they were there.
That's several generations of inbreeding. That's what you saw.
What there. The fuck, man? That was messed up. No, Bonnie Prince did not look like Andrew Gower.
Generations of inbreeding. But I think what happened.
Bottom lip went straight into his neck.
Yeah, so. So I have a theory. Aside from the inbreeding, I think because of the inbreeding and how ugly these monarchs became because of all of the incestuous relationships they were having, the artists started drawing more people looking like them so they didn't look abnormal, even though they were abnormal. That's my gist. Like, I think that's why they did it. Because if you look at, what was it, Henry VIII? I mean, the guy had a under overbite. He was so malformed. Like, I think he died like super early too, because he had so many health problems from all of the incestuous inbreeding his family had done.
He died of syphilis.
Didn't die fast enough. He managed to kill six wives or something.
I can't remember the eighth or the fourth, but one of those Henrys was so hideous from all of the inbreeding and incestuous relationships. I think that's why the artist started drawing other people like that. Like, no, that shit's normal.
That's Henry VIII.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of his cousin with the big ass.
The fourth?
Yeah, with the.
You're thinking of a different Henry.
But I think that's why they did it, because they didn't want them to look strange.
Oh, no. I stand corrected. Henry VIII didn't die of syphilis. He died of a wound that never healed.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sepsis, maybe.
It's probably like syphilis.
I just don't want to be wrong.
Herpes or something.
Herpes or something. That too.
All right, so we're going to move past that.
Yes.
It is wild. Where were we at? We were talking about Jamie having a whole stage to kill Blackjack Randall.
Oh.
And we thought it was necessary for them to have the stage that Jamie and
Oh, the wide open places?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just also talk about the fact that Jamie killed somebody with a pile of grass.
Thank you. I have that. I have that written down. What he knocked, the first he knocked the guy off of him, knocked him out with a clump of grass, and then shoved it in his mouth until he died.
Smothered him with it.
What the fuck?
We need him on our side.
Before we move past, because like we kind of like jump back and forth. But I love Murtaugh so much. I wish there was a way to keep him in this story forever, which we can't. But,
so,
Ivy, when they saw each other again, my heart broke.
In the books, is it Murtaugh or Jamie who dealt the killing blow to Blackjack Randall? Because Jamie does not remember it until years and years later. I don't know if it was Jamie who...
I don't know. I can't remember that well, but I feel like...
Somebody's going to correct me, of course, but that's okay. But I just know he doesn't have all those memories while he's laying on the battlefield.
Yeah, that's wanting to die. And he had a concussion, too.
They come back in bits and pieces throughout his life in the books. It's all spread out. And it's years later that he remembers seeing Murtaugh on the battlefield. Because in the show, they kept Murtaugh alive and, you know, took him to Ardsmuir and then transported him to the colonies. But in the books, Murtaugh dies at Culloden.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I can't remember. Somebody tell me.
It seems like he would have been the one. Because that's like Murtaugh.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure that it was Murtaugh.
It feels like it would be the one.
Why do you think Diana killed Murtaugh off so early?
Because she killed Dougal.
I don't know. I don't think that she had all of his further storyline in mind.
Yeah. I mean, the show did a great job of fixing that. I'd say fix her book, but I'm glad they did.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I agree.
I think the reason why she had to is because, in essence, there was nobody left. There shouldn't have been anybody left. I think Lord Lovat, and there was like Kilcrich. There was like one or two other generals or clan leaders, lairds that were left. And so I don't think it would make sense for anybody in the original storyline to make it past Culloden. It wouldn't have made any sense to me.
Right. And can we also spare a moment for Rupert and Jamie's little banter when they find him on the battlefield? No. And they're like, you're such a clotheed. You can't hold your whiskey and I'll drink you under the table and your arse you will. It's just like, he's oh like my God, just fall dying. Right back into the old routine, boys, because that's just it's what so you precious. Do. I love it so much. Love that.
You know, if you meet anybody, if you've ever been around military folks, we have the darkest sense of humor. We could be in the thick of some shit and find something to laugh about. And I know it's got to be some sort of safety mechanism for our mental
health. God, yeah.
Because
coping mechanism. Firefighters have the same.
Preservation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any first responders, right? Totally. I think that it's something that you have to perfect in order not to like lose your shit. And so sometimes I find myself laughing at the wrong thing. I'm like, oh shit, that's insensitive. I don't mean it that way, but that's 100%. My natural reaction because I'm like, it's terrifying.
I do it too.
I don't want to go to that dark place, so I laugh, you know? And they're like, damn, she's such a bitch. I'm like, I can't help it. It's not like I mean to.
But you're not.
No, we get it.
Girl, I've laughed at some pretty serious shit, and I'm like, oops, sorry. Speaking of that last little back and forth with Rupert and Jamie, so explain to me this, because I've thought about it for a while and I just can't understand it. Why wasn't Jamie killed? I've watched this episode several times, so I know why. But like, I don't understand like the honor system in the middle of a war. Nobody would have known. Nobody would have cared. I get Lord Melton is like this gentleman, but dude, you didn't have to keep this guy alive.
I know.
I know to further the story they needed to, but it didn't make sense to me.
I got nothing.
I don't have an answer.
Isn't it weird though? It seems
that was one of my what ifs.
Damn Grays.
Yeah.
I didn't write it down, but it's like a good what if in a very dark way.
Yeah, like what if he just had just killed him? You could have just scratched his name and put it down as something else and then just killed him. But of course, like Claire wouldn't have found him later.
Because then we would have never gotten that wonderful look from that actor who played Hal.
That's fair. That's fair. That's what we were waiting for.
That's a good one.
Yes, the entire series was written around just getting that expression from him.
Right.
Hey, Terry, you know how you said one of the times that you watched, you were looking at facial expressions?
Yes.
So I literally wrote down minute 10 with 3 seconds, the look on Jamie's face, looking at BJR. His face is amazing.
Oh, is that right before they charge each other?
Yes. It's like, you're going to die.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. And
I loved it.
The funniest thing is we all know that I've spent many an hour studying Sam's face.
And or the back of his knees.
I'm weird. Or.
I thought that was you, Ivy. His hands.
No, I have the hands.
No, right before the charge, Jamie and BJR are staring at each other. Then Jamie gets ready to charge and he does this little nose wrinkle. And that's what Sam does when he's laughing, when he's genuinely finding something hilarious. He like crinkles up his nose. And I'm like, what the hell? That's Sam came out for a microsecond right there.
Do you please remember when Claire told Jamie that Black Jack Randall was alive? That same facial expression.
Yes. He got happy.
Yes. And he had the same facial expression
that's
when
a good one.
He saw him again. That's what it reminded me of. I'm like, oh. It's about to go down. I recognize that look.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You're literally going
to
die.
I'll have to go back and watch that again.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. Wow. Bitch, you're going to die today.
That's awesome.
I'm going to kill you.
So Claire is back in the future.
Yep.
And putting up with the fucking condescending patriarchy again.
Oh, my God. So I was sitting there. I was like, you know what? Based on where she's at now and where she came from, I would have been like, bitch, take me back to the Stones. I don't have time for this shit.
I know.
Exactly.
I mean, in general, America sucked if you weren't a man, right?
Thank you.
But she was like a war nurse. So I went through this whole entire thing. I was like, this guy, Frank's colleagues talking shit. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? I really wanted to get up and slap my husband.
Yes.
I felt like somebody deserved to be slapped, and it had Thank to be a man.
Thank you. I wanted to slap Frank.
I'm like, I'm sorry.
Know, like, okay, fuck you. I know.
Why didn't he say anything?
It's his boss, but fuck you anyway. Fuck you anyway.
But he did. He tried to like, oh, she was a war nurse and blah, 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 blah.
You're going to have to mind what your wife reads from now on. Oh, bitch, get your ass right over here so I can slap your head off your shoulders.
I wanted to beat somebody's ass that time too.
God damn.
That really pissed me off.
That and the fucking doctor when she's going into labor. Don't worry your pretty little head. Just do what I tell you and you'll be fine.
And don't say a thing.
Oh, I'll get to that part. I have a question about that, Meg. But so when I got to this part, every time I've watched it, when I was looking through Claire's perspective, it took like the second time because I was kind of like pissy at her. I was like, Frank is sacrificing a lot to be with you and you're not even giving him an inch. I know it's hard, but that part of your life is over. As far as you know, it's over. You're not going back to the Stones. You're with Frank for as long as life gives you together. Why won't you budge a little bit? But then I thought about it and I was like, I bet it was hard for her because she's like a natural wanderer. She's a feminist. And for years, she's been getting her ass handed to her. First, she's like carved herself a place during the war as a nurse. And then she gets sent to the past and she's treated like a whore. But then at some point she gets respect. Mm-hmm. And then she gets thrown back to the future and they're like, you need to be dumb and placid.
Yeah.
You know, go in the kitchen and make babies. She's been demoted.
Oh, but America is progressive. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. But I'm just like, I kind of get it now. She's not a domestic.
The characters that gave her the most respect in the 18th century were either Mother Hildegard, other women who weren't subject as much to the patriarchy. I know that sounds weird, but Mother Hildegard ruled her realm.
Yeah.
She was Mother Superior.
Definitely.
She ruled over the Hospital of Angels. And then Master Raymond, who has jumped around in time so much that he knows damn well that women are not inferior to men. And,
right.
You know, Jamie is the exception, the one who gave her the respect and dignity and elevated her to, not elevated her, but treated her as if her intellect was equal to his own. And he knew that she was from 200 years in the future. So everybody else.
She was intellectually smarter in some respects, you know?
Right. But everybody else who was from that time, even the other women who weren't in any position of power, didn't treat her like she was smart or had anything to really offer. And then the same thing, she jumps 200 years forward and she gets treated the same fucking way by not only her husband's boss, but her husband just sits there and takes it.
And like, her, God that damn neighbor it. Lady, like talking shit to her about looking over the fire.
Millie. Millie Nelson.
I did not like her.
So my question was this, right?
So what?
Meg, since you're the only one of us that have had children.
Yes, ma'am.
So did women really get sedated to have babies? Because like epidural anesthesia was used during World War I and Claire came from like World War II. Like, the first time it was used during childbirth was like in the early 1900s. I'm genuinely concerned about that scene because I was like, well, her whole purpose of going back is to ensure that this baby survives and then she gets sedated. I thought that was crazy. Is that a normal thing? Do you like,
I guess, yeah.
So women do get sedated to have babies?
No. Unless you meet certain criteria for a C-section, then you choose what medication you want, if you want any medication at all. That being an epidural. An epidural only sedates your lower half of your body. So respiratory-wise, from abdomen up, you are completely 100% with it.
You just can't feel anything below the waist.
No.
Really?
So it just depends on how much you ask for and how much they dose you with. It just depends on your metabolism.
So how do you push if you don't feel it? What is that? I mean, like, I can't describe it.
You have a brain. Remember that. So your brain, well, I mean, you can like, tell your brain to do something. You just can't feel yourself doing it. So they tell you to bear down and push. You still know that you need to do that. And your body is instinctively doing it anyway because you're having a contraction, whether you can feel it or not.
Okay.
I'll tell you right now, it didn't hurt, but I felt every contraction and I felt pushing. I could still feel myself pushing.
Under the epidural.
Wow.
Yes, both times.
So they found a way just to block the pain part of it?
Yeah. So some people, though, they get it overdone. They don't really overdose them, but they have so much epidural that they can't feel anything.
Okay. Side tangent. Modern medicine scares the living shit out of me. They have found a way with surgery where they're not even, you're kind of knocked out, but more so it's just like they just erase selective sections of your memory and you wake up and you've said things.
Yeah, like your pain receptors.
Completely aware. But you have absolutely no memory of it. I'm like, what in the fuck just happened?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I know your brain knows what to do. But I mean, I remember like when I had surgery, I had like 5 surgeries on my arm. And I can't, like, I have like nerve blocks, right? So I still can't feel a good portion of my arm.
Oh my gosh.
I would be doing stuff, but I couldn't feel it. You know what I mean? Is that the same way when you have an epidural?
I have like a sudden memory of Mr. and Mrs. Smith where Angelina Jolie is like, I have no feeling in these 3 fingers. That's Ivy.
Yes, that's the same. Except for I have 4 fingers and I can't feel anything.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's wild. I was just wondering because I'm like.
But Ivy, your answer is no, unless you are literally having a C-section. Unless you're having surgery, then no, you are not sedated.
You know who would really probably know the best answer? Like, that was a great answer for like us now, but for back then, I bet Cheryl would know.
Ooh.
She's like a encyclopedia of all the things.
That is true.
I hope she knows the answer because like, I was like, why would they put her asleep to have a baby? How would you push?
I think A, she was starting to freak out a little bit. And B, they said that she was high risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had had a miscarriage. And so I think that the doctor was like, well, you don't get a say. I'm going to deliver this baby as safely as possible. So I'm going to knock you the hell out because I think you're going to try and control the situation.
But how did she push? Like, how did they get it out?
Oh, they're like vacuums and
forceps
and all those things. Oh. So the baby's going to come out regardless whether you push or not.
Okay.
Hmm.
But Cheryl, if you hear this,
that's interesting.
Let us know.
Yeah.
We're curious.
Please.
Yeah, she's an encyclopedia of all the things.
Yes.
That whole scene, like, because I was thinking, like, why the fuck did Frank let that happen? That is his only chance to have a kid, and Claire's only reason to be back is to have that kid. And then, of course, like, she's panicking because the last time she was unconscious having a baby, she didn't have a baby alive when she woke up, so...
I don't think Frank knew a whole lot more than Claire did. I think he was a man of his time.
Well, I'm not saying that, but stand by your woman type of shit, right? If she says no, she says no.
Right. Stand up for her.
I don't know. I think he went with the doctor a little bit on that one.
Don't ask any questions and you'll be fine.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Backhand right there.
Mm-mm. Did you notice how Frank said go or stay? He's like, go or stay. I didn't force you to go to Boston. I didn't hear him ask her if she wanted to go to Boston.
No, they had that conversation in that last, I think it was 2:13.
In one of the rewatches that I did, it was so obvious how she had agreed and had stuck to, and she said it in the dialogue, she had stuck to not ever talking of the past. And then Frank wanted to talk about what happened during the war, and he was reminiscing about the shortages and, you know, wanting bacon every morning for breakfast.
Make your own damn bacon, asshole.
So he was allowed to talk about the past, but she had blocked almost literally everything. She didn't talk about...
Well, I think it's because she didn't have a past. The past that she had was only a week. And that was it. They could talk to everything during the war up until like the week that... And then 3 years, you don't...
But they weren't together for 6 years. And it...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, she could talk about her life during that time, but she only had a week of the past before she disappeared.
It makes a difference not having a shared past, but... It makes a difference not being able to talk to somebody you're supposed to be as close as your spouse. You're censoring an entire part of your life, whether it's because you agreed to or because they're not a part of it. Most people don't totally censor talking about past things in their lives just because their spouse doesn't want to hear a certain portion of it, if that makes sense.
Okay, so let's just say this then. They didn't have 6 years together.
Right.
You have plenty to talk about. Talk about the 6 years that you weren't together.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't have to talk about the 3 years you were gone. So, I mean, I think that portion of her life that she can't mention is always going to be there because she has a baby. So that was kind of unfair of him. But the reality is you had 6 years separated. You had plenty to talk about.
Right.
She was just kind of stuck in that moment because it was only like, you know, a few months ago. Or for him, it was a few months ago that she left, but it was 3 years or 2 years or whatever the case was.
Fine.
So in those 2 years, he still lived on.
Whatever. Be all logical about it. Make a convincing argument.
Saying, like,
fucking A.
He had some shit to have talked about.
Whatever.
Yeah, but then she talks about the war times and then she gets accused of having an affair with a soldier. Like,
yeah, there's that.
So it's like, oh, did you, you know, have sex with some Scottish dude? And she's like, no. But then, like, literally 2 days later, she does. So it's kind of like, oops.
Oops.
So oops. I know one of our past episodes, I talked about things that echo between different episodes. There's more of that that I want to jump to. I'm sure it's just because we're doing the podcast, we're watching things all out of order and jumping around and deciding we're only going to watch a few of each season. But the echoes that I noticed in this episode, it's kind of ironic. It's kind of unfair to the production team or the writers to take things out of order, because when you happen to pick specific episodes of the show, you notice repeats of tropes that people don't notice when they're watching or binging in order.
All the way through, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the way that Claire flinched away from Frank's touch is exactly the same way that she flinched away from Jamie's touch on their wedding night in their room at the tavern. And also, here's the second time near the end of this episode that we see Jamie near death taking a long journey in the back of a wagon.
This is true.
I just thought those things were funny because we haven't watched 13 episodes in between seeing that for the last time. It's only been a few weeks since the last time I saw To Ransom a Man's Soul. And yes, once again, he's almost dead, near coma, and riding in a wagon full of hay.
Hey, if it works, it works. That's a surefire getaway.
There you go. Stick with what works. Okay, fair enough.
Touche.
What else haven't we hit? Who wants to hit some other points?
Mine isn't a what if. It's kind of like, I guess it's a what if. But you know how Frank, I felt so terribly bad for him since the moment Claire came back. I know there's moments where he's being real asshole-ish, but there are moments where I really genuinely feel bad for him because he's like, I'm just trying to get back to where we were. I know you went through some things, but what would it have been like if Claire had actually tried? Because I don't think that she tried. Like, really tried. Because if you watch over the next few episodes, she kind of half-assed it. And then she decided to go to medical school. They had sex, like, once because she was horny. And then, of course, she was thinking of Jamie because she's like, oh, I miss my husband. But we know which husband you were missing. And then
we do.
We had, like, this agreement to have an open relationship. And then all of a sudden, she's all like, oh, let's be a couple. But he's already moved on. So I wonder what would have happened if she actually tried. Like, how long do you think it would have taken her to feel something for Frank again if he had just tried?
Eons.
That amount of time doesn't exist. Thank you. Good night. Mic drop.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, we're not going to say that we saw the entire series or read the books. I think that if she had just given it the old college try, I think she could have found what her and Frank had, at least be friends. Because it didn't even seem like they were friends.
Fake it till you make it.
Yes, that's the army motto. Every time it works, man, it fucking works.
It does.
But yeah, that was my what if. And maybe one some listener will give us their insight about it. But I just felt like, what if she had just tried a little bit? For her,
would he still died?
Yeah, because he had that heart condition. But at least he would have died happy and not running off into the night because they had a fight.
Right.
I think that sucked. And also, listen about this asshole nurse. I was like, where'd the red hair come from?
Oh.
No.
Like, bitch, shut up.
I want to know how many times throughout Brianna's 20 years or 18 years while Frank was still alive, how many times did that question get asked? Where'd you get the red hair from?
It's a recessive gene. Shut up, bitch.
How come you don't have these vertical lines in your face just like your father? How come you don't have anything, any features of your daddy?
And I'm like, how do you get brown eyes? Can we talk about
that? How come
you're
not ugly like your father?
Like, how does she get brown eyes?
We can.
She's not supposed to have brown eyes.
I know we said, oh, babies' eyes get darker as they get older, but those are brown eyes. Those were always brown. But younger Brianna had blue eyes. I had mentioned this before. There was, and I think maybe it was in our group text, but the original Bri, when she was a kid, had blue eyes, and she was like 8. You don't just get brown eyes when you turn 18.
I know.
And you're like, oh, no, baby's eyes get lighter. I'm like, or darker. I'm like, no, that motherfucker had blue eyes. She had all blue.
Like legit blue.
Jet blue eyes. Like, come on.
I never noticed the age of the little girl's eyes.
Dude, go back.
That's crazy.
It was when they were looking at the bird in the little book when she was at school.
Yep.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. On the couch.
Was it Faith?
Oh.
I can't remember, but she was looking at a bird or something. And she looks up at her mom, and I'm like, damn, her eyes are blue as shit.
They 100% were.
And then all of a sudden she's got brown eyes. I'm like, nobody's eyes just gets dark like that. They could have put some contacts in. I mean, look, it works.
Yeah. Just a little momentary pause in gratitude for the casting of Charles Vandervaart as 18 or 20-year-old William. That young man is the perfect combination of Hannah James and Sam Heughan.
I actually used an AI program to see what their child would look like, and it honestly does look like that guy.
Okay, you're freaking me out a little bit right now, and you need to send that. Oh my gosh,
you're telling me you guys never use that app?
So freaking weird, man.
You've never used like the baby's
AI?
It does anything, and it lets you type an animation. You want it 3D. Canva does that. There's an app for it. It's called Text to Image. It's an AI program.
Not me seeing what my children with Sam Heughan's DNA would look like. Not me. Nope. That's not creepy at all.
Girl, I already got a couple of them saved. We're going to make some pretty ass babies. Oh, we're going to make some fine ass babies, girl.
Oh, I'm sure your babies would be absolutely gorgeous.
You have some so, so pretty little mixed babies. Oh my God. I can't wait. So I would like to go ahead and
need to
volunteer as tribute in case Sam is interested. I know Graham got married and fucked it up for me, but I still got Sam. So
one way or another.
Even though congratulations, but gosh damn it.
Oh, good Lord.
One day.
All right. Have we not touched on anybody's notes? Does anybody have something further?
So the only note that I have left is, how happy were you at the end when he's back at Lallybroch again?
Oh my God. That was amazing.
Just,
you know what? The other thing that made me so happy was in this episode when they were at supposedly Harvard, but they shot that at the University of Glasgow in the cloisters. Oh yes. My God. I have the most fabulous pictures from going to the cloisters. And I could have stayed in there and looked at that architecture all day and all night. It was incredible. They were wrapping the columns in Christmas lights the day that we first got there. And I said, are you going to be done by the end of today? And they're like, no. Like, when are you going to be done? Sometime on Thursday. And I literally did another train trip from Edinburgh to Glasgow 2 days later so I could see all the columns in the cloisters wrapped in the Christmas lights.
Christmas lights up, yeah.
Oh.
I bet it was pretty. Did you get pictures? You took pictures.
I did take pictures. I'll post them along with this episode.
Yeah, I'd like to see those.
Gorgeous.
What are we going to do?
Let's do it.
What are we going to do next? I mean, we have to devote an entire episode to A. Malcolm, don't we?
Absolutely.
Amen. Yes. Ivy, you're doing that one, right?
I mean, you can if you'd like, because I'm kind of stuck between that one and First Wife.
I need to figure mine out.
But there's so many, because you have the Bakra, you have Heaven and Earth, you have the Doldrums with
Uncharted.
What's his name? Mr. Willoughby. I love Mr. Willoughby, so I wanted to do... I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Which one is Turtle Soup?
That one is, I think, Heaven and Earth, right?
What? Nah.
I think it has to be either that or the Doldrums, right? Because that's when the...
No,
maybe it's when they get back on the boat. So it has to be the Eye of the Storm. It has to be the Eye of the Storm.
Turtle Soup is 311. Uncharted. They really should have called that episode Turtle Soup. or bolt the door. That was such an awesome line. I love that so much.
Yeah, I want to revisit Leary. I want to revisit Galus. So I'm kind of stuck between the two. But I also feel like A. Malcolm deserves his own episode, man. So
100%.
We got three choices there. He does. Or at least for me.
He does.
We might have to do another full episode this month. Can stars, intern, bestie, can we get some hints about when the premiere is going to be? I mean, we have a podcast to schedule. Yeah. We have a plan that has to be executed. We need some hints here.
Yes, it would really help. Thanks.
I'm going to send a gift basket to Star's headquarters to the intern. Hey, girl. Hey. Or guy. I don't know if it's a guy or girl.
Next week. We don't know yet. It's either going to be A. Malcolm or First Wife or Uncharted or what was the final one?
It's going to be a surprise for everybody.
Bakra. That was another.
The Bakra, but that's not. I think we can cover the Bakra in
listeners.
Honorable mention. We'll figure it out. You guys got to trust us sometimes. I mean, we don't always know what the fuck we're doing, but we figure it out along the way.
We shouldn't have to. No.
I enjoy not knowing shit.
I don't.
It's so much
pleasantly I don't enjoy surprised not
knowing
by shit. Things.
I need to know all the things about all the things.
Well, because someone is always out there ready to correct me.
It's usually me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me.
Am I the drama?
The problem is me.
No.
Just call me Taylor.
Am I the villain?
I'll answer to Taylor.
I'm going
to
go see her next month with Jill.
Or Jordan. Or Tracy or Trixie. You guys know all. Right now, I just listed all of my alter egos and nobody was paying attention, but that's okay. It's recorded.
Tracy, Trixie.
I heard them all, but I didn't know what you were doing.
I honestly thought you were just naming friends that had names started with a T.
No, Tracy and Trixie are both of my drunk alter egos, and Savannah and Jordan
I met her.
Are aliases from decades ago in my life. We'll talk about that some other time.
I would like to explore later why you felt you needed aliases.
Maybe at the bourbon ball. Wouldn't you like to know?
We're not going to let that one go, so...
I need to see all of these at the bourbon ball. Thank you.
No, you probably see Tracy.
Are they alcohol based? Like you have Tracy for whiskey, Trixie for tequila.
They're not specific to types of alcohol. Tracy is my bitchy alter ego. If you are pissed at me after a night of drinking, you need to take it up with Tracy because I was not there. That was that bitch.
Facts.
And Trixie is my flirty alter ego. She comes out and has a whole lot of fun with the boys.
Tim's like, I hate that bitch.
My husband. Yeah. He's like, when's she coming back? I miss her. I miss Trixie.
She's so much fun.
But I see it.
All right.
No, I just have Ivy and drunk Ivy. So it just really depends. And then.
Right. Same.
That's about it. Like, that wasn't me. That was drunk Ivy. You'll have to see her tomorrow.
Yeah, take
about
it up
that.
With her. Mm-hmm. Take it up with her. I wasn't there.
You're going to have to wait till she comes back.
Yeah. And she may not remember you, so take notes.
So be memorable.
Take notes and give them to her the next day.
Yes, let me
Ladies.
Know what I did.
It's time to sign off for the night. It really is.
It is.
I think I might have to have some time together. One more cocktail, but not this night.
Miss, I'm not going to have any more.
Just have one.
That's literally what you said last time before Trisha made an appearance.
Trisha? Who's Trisha?
That's your other one. That was your tequila and whiskey one.
Oh, I don't like Trisha. She isn't fun. No.
She's like, hey, girl.
Trisha gets sick.
Who is that bitch?
Oh my God, there's another one, Trisha.
Oh my God.
Nobody wants to hang out with Trisha because she leaves a mess behind.
Okay, just real quick, if no one has seen it, please watch the movie Split. Because James McAvoy.
I haven't seen it, but I need to.
That's how I got Maria's nickname. She calls herself Patsy. And I told her, I was like, it's Patricia, right? If you've ever seen that movie, Patricia's like the psycho that keeps all the other personalities in order. But that movie is absolutely fucking hilarious, man.
We will see everybody in a week. And we'll let you know ahead of time what episode we're going to do. Everybody take care.
Yes.
Have a good night.
We'll get it figured out. Go drink the whiskey we recommended. Bye.
Bye. Ciao.
Thank you all for listening. You can find us, follow and message us on Instagram at Outlander with Friends, and we love to hear from you. We're now available on all major podcast apps, and if you leave us a great rating, it helps more people find us. Listen next week for more TMI. Don't say we didn't warn you.